Good morning, everyone.
He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of creation. By him all things were created, in heaven and earth, seen and unseen, rulers, dominions, and powers and kings. He holds all things together. He holds all things together. He's the head of the body of the church, the firstborn from the dead. So in everything he is the head, the fullness of God was pleased to dwell in him, to reconcile to himself. He holds all things together. He holds all things together. Through him and for him all things were made. Through him and for him all things were made. He is before all things, in him all things hold together. Through him and for him all things were made. Through him and for him all things were made. He is before him all things hold together. Blood of his cross, he made peace. He made peace. He made peace. By the blood of his cross, he holds all things together. He holds all things together. He holds all things together.
Wow. Is that yours? No. I was going to say, man, whoever wrote it, wonderful, wonderful song. Love it. He holds all things together by the word of his power. Hebrews 1:3, Colossians 1:15. Beautiful. Thank you, Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for all that you've done and given us in Christ Jesus. More than we can even imagine, so much more than we even know. And for that, we are eternally, profoundly grateful. Those who are grateful, gracious, and graceful, even like our Lord Jesus Christ, that we might be full of grace and truth, by the word of his grace, which is able to build a house, reveal the inheritance that is ours among those who are the set apart ones, the sanctified ones. All of this is your purpose for us, the one who works all things after the counsel of his own will, to reveal just how gracious, how good and gracious, how good and gracious and merciful you are, Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for these things. Bless the word of God as it goes forth this morning, as you always do, as you must. For it is the mind or the thinking of Jesus Christ, our great God and Savior. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Titled the message this morning, so much more than we know. So much more. How much more? So much more. Sunday, May 16th, 2021. Turn to Ephesians 1:11. We'll take up where we left off. We're going to add to our growing list of things that he's done and given us. So far, well, we'll go back. We'll do the verse first. We'll read the verse first from the King James, not King James, from New American Standard. Also, there's also, adding to the list, also, we have obtained an inheritance. That's something that's waiting for us in the future. Having been predestined, I love that word, predestined, according to his purpose, I love that one too, who works all things after the counsel of his will. This inheritance is yet another blessing which is added to the growing list. So far, he laid up in escrow, number one, every spiritual blessing, some for time, some for eternity, kept in a safe place, kept in a safe deposit box, as it were, reserved for us, monogram blessings that no one else can wear. That's the first thing he did. That's Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. Number two, he knew us and chose us. This should make you really happy and really secure. Even beyond that, to give you an identity in Christ and a destiny to become a man or woman of destiny. He knew us and chose us in him, in Christ, from before the foundation of the world, before the world was formed. To those who are his, he says, I always knew you, even as, that's 2 Timothy 2:19, the Lord knows those who are his. Even as in Matthew 7:23, he says, I never knew you. Those who tried to work their way into salvation or his favor, or to maintain a level of self-righteousness that they thought was acceptable to God. And none is. Can't be good enough. That's not good enough. Your best is not good enough. But his is. So, that's Ephesians 1:4. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. He called, number three, every one of us for the privilege of placement as sons in positions of power and authority in the kingdom and the eternal state under the term huiothesia. You say that's adoption, but adoption is more than just our common or modern understanding of adoption, and it's not the same. It's the positioning of a son in a place of authority in the family with regard to the estate. So that's what he has in store for us. That's number three. Ephesians 1:5, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself according to the kind intention of his will. Number four, he ransomed us from the slave market of sin. In Matthew 20:28, the Lord said, I did not come to be served, but to serve and to offer my life as an apolutrosis, a ransom for many. In other words, he took us out of the slime pit, How many remember that? I'll never forget. And set our feet upon the rock, not a rock, the rock. He is the rock. His ways are finished, and all his ways are justice, a God of peace, a God of truth, and without iniquity, just and right is he. Psalm 40, verse 2. He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay. That's the slime pit. And he set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. Or out of the dung heap, as it were, to set us among the princes, royalty, royal family of his family, his royal family, the princes of his people. Psalm 113:7. He raises up the poor, me, out of the dust, and lifts the needy, me, out of the crap pile, the dung heap. That's where they pile it up. Pile it up high. How high? Oh, about 6'1". That he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people. That's something. He makes the barren woman, ladies, this is for you too, it's not just a man. This makes makes the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise the Lord. Psalm 113, 7 to 9. Ephesians 1, 7. In him we have apolutrosis. That's redemption. The ransom being paid through his blood. Number 5, he forgave every sin that you've ever committed or ever will commit, past, present, and future. Past, present, and future. Do we forget about that? Oh, we might remember it for ourselves to some degree, but we don't remember it about others as we impute people's sins to them and believers' sins to them. Shame on you. That dishonors Christ. Don't do it anymore. Stop doing that. Seriously. Think about what Christ did for you. And then forgive one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Be tender-hearted one toward another, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Okay? Good. We got that settled. The forgiveness of sins. He forgave every sin, past, present, and future. Ephesians 1, 7. This is our list of the things that God's revealed so far. Part and parcel of the wonderful life, the best spiritual life given to the church. He saved the best for last, like he did with the new wine in the wedding of Cana of Galilee. So he forgave every sin, past, present, and future, Ephesians 1:7, the forgiveness of our trespasses. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, all of them. Number 6, he lavished untold riches upon us. Ephesians 1:7 and 8, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us. Number 7, he made known to us the mystery of his will. That's Ephesians 1:9. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his kind intention, which he purposed in Christ. And number 8, if that were not enough, here he has also named you a beneficiary of eternal inheritance and real estate in the kingdom of God, the millennial kingdom and eternal state. It's true. Verse 11, also adding to the list, we have been, here we have the word klerao, or eklerothemane, which means to have apportioned or allotted an inheritance, a portion or an allotment of an inheritance. In whom? In Christ. Also, remember 31 times in Ephesians, we have in him, in Christ Jesus, in him, in whom? In the Lord, 31 times, shows us where we are and what we have in Christ. In whom also, adding to the list, we were apportioned or allotted an inheritance. This is big stuff. This is eternal things. You say, well, I don't have that much here. Well, you could have a whole bunch there if you want it. And he may not have given you much here, so you could have a lot more there. Because he knew what would happen if he gave you too much. We wouldn't see you very often, that's for sure. Only when it was threatened, what you have was threatened, or you wasted it, like the prodigal. But that's okay, you can still come home. Once you take your inheritance and squander it in a foreign land. Remember that story? Luke 16, remember? Yeah, you can do that. And then, maybe some of you have done that. I know I did it. And I was eating pig food. And I wasn't looking or feeling too good. And I said, I better go home to my father, to his house. And I said to him, I said, Father, I'm not worthy to be your son. Take me in as a hired servant. He said, I'll hear nothing of it. Bring the robe, bring the ring, bring the shoes. My son was dead, but he's alive. Got it? So don't think anyone is excluded from that kind of mercy and grace by the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Or apportioned or allotted an inheritance, klerao, assigned by lot or apportioned. Everybody gets a piece of the rock. Is in Christ. Christ is the rock. You get a piece of the rock. Then he says, having been predestinated, that's our word, proorizo. Terry knows all about that word. Terry, how many hours have you spent thinking about proorizo? No, he hasn't. He spent his whole life. At least the recent part of his life, the last 20 years, 25 years, thinking about it. That means destined in advance, decided in advance. So you put up borders and you can't go any further than that, but there really, it's a really extensive and wonderful thing that he's done. He's brought me out in a large place. Not in a tight spot, but in a large place. Blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Given us this wonderful inheritance, being predestinated according to his purpose. The purpose here is protithemi. Now, I know some of you don't like this, and others of you love it. So this is for those who love it. Protithemi. For you who don't, just shut your ears. Think about something secular while I do this. Protithemi. Pro means before. It always means before. You're proactive. That means before you really need to be, you're ready, and you've got everything in prepared in advance. Pro means before. Tithemi means to lay, place, or set. So this is something that was set forth in advance. Referring to God's determined purpose from the beginning to exalt the person of Christ, of course, and also the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. I can't wait to get there. That's 1:23. First, we have to do Paul's prayer, 1:17 to 21:22. And then we'll get to 23, and then we'll get to 2:1. We're making great progress. This stuff is deep and wide. So, you may say, too deep and wide for me. Well, you'll come along. I don't want things to be too easy for you. You know? Everything today is so easy for so many people. Let's make it really easy and really simple for stupid people. Anybody identify with that? I do. But guess what? He's given you equal spiritual IQ. He made a spiritual genius out of you because The one who enables you is the Spirit himself who breathed it out and who will show you and lead you and guide you into all categories of truth. That's what Jesus said, whether or not it's true. It is. He will. He's your teacher. You say, well, my pastor, he's not all that good, and we listen to the messages, and sometimes we understand what he's saying, and other times we really don't, and he does that Greek stuff, and, you know, I don't know what that's about. I don't know who he thinks we are, that he could talk to us like that. Either we're simpletons, or he is, one of the two, or both of us are. But anyway, I forget now what I was even going to say. Forget it. That's how bad I am. He set these things up in advance. Contrary to what many believers think, God is not, listen to this statement, this is an important one. Contrary to what you may think or what many believers think, God is not glorified by what you do for him, but what he has done for you. That's what he's glorified by. And you're receiving that grace. That's what grace is all about. It's about receiving. You can't do anything for God, but you can receive everything from him. And that's what he wants you to do. You will be a grace trophy if you do that. And if you don't, you'll be one of those who really tried hard, but nothing you did was acceptable. And so you get in by the blood of the Lamb, but you don't get in with the word of your testimony that God did it all. He willed and worked inside of me according to his own good pleasure. And all I did was let or allow him. All I did was wait by faith through the Spirit for the hope of righteousness. Can anybody say that they've done more than that? Nobody can. God's not glorified by what you do for him. He's glorified by what you've received from him. If you don't get anything else from the message today, take that one home. His role is to motivate and to activate you. Motivate, activate, and energize you. That's what it means to will and work in Philippians 2:13. By the word of grace and the Spirit of grace dwelling within us, our role is to believe the word on purpose and to make ourselves available to be filled with the Spirit moment by moment. That's our job. He said he'll do it, but we're just available. He's able, you're available, he's able. You're not able, you're available. He's not only available, but he's available and able to your availability to do what you can't do. And to receive grace, to be grateful. That's what it means to grow in grace. Did you know that? It means to have ever-growing appreciation and gratitude. That's all it means. On God's side, it's all that God does. On your side, it's receiving what God has done and being grateful. That's what grace is on the human side, is gratitude. So grow in gratitude, and God will be glorified. That's what it says, doesn't it? Peter says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and to him be the glory, both now and unto the eternal ages. You didn't do anything for him. He did everything for you. That's our verse so far. In whom also we were apportioned or allotted an inheritance, having been predestinated according to the purpose set forth in advance. Protithemi. Then he says, according to the working of something or other. Let me put my rubber finger on so I can turn my page. The working of all things according to the boule, that is, the counsel, altu, of his, Then we got Thelematos. All of this is planned in advance. It's all the original plan, purpose, and will of God to demonstrate just how good and how gracious God is in every way. As he loves the unlovely, saves the ungodly, makes sinners holy people, and guilty people blameless in his sight by the work of Jesus Christ on our behalf. That's how he did it. He's loving the unlovely, saving the ungodly, making sinners holy, and the guilty blameless in his sight by the work of Jesus Christ on our behalf. All that is lovely about any of us, about you or about me, and before I say this, yes, God loves you, but you have to realize this also. All that is lovely about us is Christ. So put on Christ. Romans 13:14. Instead of saying, like they do in many churches, and they're doing it this morning, with or without masks on, I'm not going to go to any stores that make you wear masks. I really love the freedom. I'm fully vaccinated. I'll show you my card. Instead of saying, as they do in many churches, maybe this morning, God loves you and so do I, we should say God loves Christ in you and so do I. Now, I'm not going to greet you like I used to. I said this in a couple messages ago. How you doing? But instead, I'll greet you with grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Likewise, we'll not say God loves you and so do I, but God loves Christ in you and so do I. As a matter of fact, I love Christ in me as well. Otherwise, I hate me. Because apart from him, there's nothing lovely. There's nothing to love, seriously. In Luke 14:26, this is what Jesus said. If anyone comes to me and doesn't hate his own father and mother, I don't hate you, Mom. And wife, I don't hate you, honey. And children, Matt and Erica, grandchildren. Brothers and sisters, yes, I do hate some of my brothers. No, I don't. And even his own life, he can't be my disciple. He can't be my disciple. What does that mean? Well, here's how the NLT says it. It takes a little bit of the impact away, but does explain it in a sense, because Jesus doesn't want you to hate people. He wants us to love one another. In Luke 14:26 of the NLT, it says, if you want to be my follower, you must love me more than your own father and mother. Wife, children, brothers, sisters, yes, more than your own life. Otherwise, you can't be my disciple. So how do you stack up with that one? How are you stacking up with that one today? I'm not sure we're doing very well. I'm not so sure we're doing that well. Therefore, what do? Change? No, exchange. Our life for his. Yours hangs by a thread. So does mine. We're one decision away from disaster, don't you know? We need to trust in the Lord with all of our heart, lean not on our own understanding. Proverbs 3:5. So, next. That's that. If that were not enough. Verse 12 says, this is a good one too. I like this too. Did you know your first fruits? Vicky sang about it this morning. Christ is the first fruit, so are we. He says, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of his glory. See, perhaps, this has many inferences to it and many things could be said about it, but perhaps you were the first one in your family to be saved or the first one on your street. To hope in Christ, or in your town, to the praise of his glory. He did that. Guess what? It's good to be first. Somebody needs to be. That's what I always say when you go to somebody's house or to a picnic or something like that, and the food's ready. They go, the food's ready, and the guy, I get in line first. Somebody has to be first. Might as well be me. I was hungry. Oh, no, I'll wait to be last. I want to be first. It's good to be first. If God makes you first, puts you first, he always puts Christ first. So, God is honored always with the first fruits, the firstborn, or as Paul says, the first fruits of Achaia, 1 Corinthians 15:23. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits. After that, those who are Christ that is coming, they all constitute first fruits of the great harvest. 1 Corinthians 16:15, Paul says, now I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas, that they were the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves, I love this verse, and that they have devoted themselves for ministry to the saints. It says they're addicted to the ministry of the word. You addicted to the ministry of the word? Yeah, that's where we need to be, to the Lord and his word. James 1:18, in the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth so that we would be a kind of first fruits among his creatures. Revelation 14:4, these are the ones, he's talking about the 144,000, these are the ones who have not been defiled with women, for they have kept themselves chaste. Not that women defile you, but you can be defiled by a woman. And these are the ones who, ask Solomon, ask David. He was to blame. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. There's a good policy. These have been purchased from among men as first fruits to God and to the Lamb. There's that phrase. To God and to the Lamb, all in one breath. So, you're among the first fruits in one way or another. No one has more than you do, or gets more than you do. No, not even the apostle. The apostle says, if you read and reread, you will understand my insight. You get my insight into the mystery of Christ. Peter says, those who have like precious faith with us. With who? With Peter. James, John, Bartholomew, Philip, Judas, not the one that betrayed the Lord, the other one, and the rest. Like precious faith with them. Yeah. Everybody gets the same thing. No one has more than you do. No one gets more than you do, has more than you do. Then he says, he goes on to say, unto which we are to be, unto the praise. Praise is a pinos, which means to praise the virtue and excellency of God, which he indeed is worthy of. And he says, of his glory, those, then it's a participle. That's a verb ending in ing that becomes a noun. First hoping, those first hoping in Christ. You know, just as Uncle Morty, you know who Uncle Morty was? Mordecai and Esther. I call him Uncle Morty. Just like I call Barnabas Barney and Abraham Honest Abe. But that's who he is, Morty. Uncle Morty. That's a good Jewish name. Uncle Morty. Mordecai said to Esther of old, perhaps you were raised up when you were and where you are for such a time as this. That's Esther 4:14. For if you remain silent at this time, there's always a time when you shouldn't remain silent. You should speak up, speak out. Relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from somewhere else, somebody else, from another place. And you and your father's house will perish. And who knows? God does. whether you have not attained royalty for such a time as this. I can tell you with authority that you were for such a time as this. And if you keep coming to church where you hear it over and over, maybe, just maybe, you'll believe it and become the man or woman of destiny that God made you to be. You know, you see, pastors have a problem. They want the people in the congregation to be as devoted to the Word of God as they are. Is that so wrong? Guess what? Please exceed me. Make me obsolete. Make me invisible first, then obsolete. I'll be so happy. I won't even have to pray for you anymore. You'll be on your own. The Lord knows all of those things. And we need each other. You need me. I need you. You need me. We need each other in the family tree. I'm a poet and don't know it. We do. We need each other. Every gift is essential. You better discern the body of Christ. You hear that? Out there in internet land, sermon audio, you better discern the body of Christ. Why? Because some are weak, some are sick, and some aren't around anymore. They die. You guys are all alive and well, aren't you? You sure look good. We all look very hardy, all of us, somehow or another. And none of us is as young as we used to be. I don't know any of you that are going backwards in age. Everybody's increasing in age. But with that comes a fullness and a peacefulness and a far better. Would you want to be young again, most of you? Would you ever want to be young? Would you? Oh, not me. Sorry, not me. I was a mess. Still, you say, well, you still are. It's probably true in many ways. But I was really a mess. I don't never want to be young again. But anyway, so. All church-age believers are counted among the first to hope in Christ. They are the last. It's the really the last of the historic dispensations, except for the millennium. The last who are first. That's Matthew 19:30. Jesus said, the last will be first, the first will be last. Also Matthew 20:16. He says it twice in Matthew, later chapters of Matthew. So it's good to be first. Someone has to be, and it just happens that it's you, and why not? But just remember that it's not because you're better, perhaps you're worse. And when you see the truth about yourself, then the Lord can summon you from the back of the line and call you up higher. He says, come up higher, friend. Take the last seat. You know, the last Adam is certainly first, isn't he? That's Christ. And the first is last. The last is first, the first is last. And he saved the best wine for last. This is illustrated by the first public miracle at the wedding of Cana of Galilee. Perhaps God has a specific purpose for your life, and though you didn't have any realization or understanding of that until now, it starts today to be a catalyst, an influence. How about an invisible hero? A man or woman of the Word to proclaim his name by word or by deed, or, this is one's underrated, by a life well lived. Don't ever discount that. That's more important than what you say. You can't fake that. You can fake what you say. let that sink in for just a moment while I find my place. A fully functional body part operating effortlessly. You can't deny the reality of that and the power of that. Not by doing, but by being. A priest making intercession. Revelation 1:6, he made us a kingdom of priests. As an ambassador, properly and politely representing Jesus Christ, not a bull in a china shop. 2 Corinthians 5:18 and 19. In your own home, starts at home, with your extended family, where you work, in your everyday interaction and encounters with the people that God sends your way. You got ample opportunity to do so. Let God deal with those things, deal with you in that way. Make you something wonderful. Make something wonderful out of the rest of your miserable life. Or as a warrior, we're all of these, priest, ambassador, and warriors. As a warrior fighting the good fight of faith, trained in battle, formed up, standing shoulder to shoulder, shield to shield, with others, brandishing the sword of the Spirit, the sword of the Lord, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's a fantastic thing that you have the opportunity to do every day. You say, well, I was thinking I was going to do something else for the Lord. Those things are enough. You're just letting Him, allowing Him to will and work in you, and you're waiting for Him each day. Filled with the Spirit, filled with the Word. Let us carry on the good work of God, beholding, just looking, that's all, as in a glass of glory of the Lord, being changed into that same image from glory to glory by the Lord, who is the Spirit, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Carry on the good work of God by beholding, by believing. People don't believe because, guess what? They don't hear, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Make sure you hear the Word of God every day. Spend some quality time. Some people listen to messages on tape, which is very, very good, and they listen to them over and over, but they don't even hear them. They're just playing in the background. And you say, that's what we need to do. No, you don't. You need to block everything out and let the Lord bring the truth of the Word into meditation so He can tell you something or teach you something that you don't know. Then you'll grow like mad. I was going to say like a bad weed, like a good plant, 30, 60, 100-fold yield. Beholding, believing, and then just being the men and women that God made us to be, desiring all the more to be Christ-like. That's the goal, Christ-likeness. You can't do it. God has to do it. The effortless work of faith, the joyful labor of love, and the steady production of hope. These three abide, faith, hope, and love. 1 Corinthians 13:13. The well of faith, faith is like a well, it fills and spills into steady streams of hope that merge into a raging river of love, flooding the land all around. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Amen. You have to have a marinated mind. You want to have the mind of Christ, you have a marinated mind. Do you think His thoughts were idle? Or His words were idle? That He had any idols in His mind? None. The marinated mind, MM, marinated mind. I live in a world of alliteration. The marinated mind, the saturated soul, and the hydrated heart. Soak the sopping with the pure, clean, and refreshing water of the Word of God, Ephesians 5:26. We can tell when we talk to you whether you're full of it or not. What? The Word. Or something else. In Galatians 5:6, only that which saturates the heart and fills it to overflowing counts. That is how the word works. As faith becomes hope, and hope becomes love. Faith is the apprehension of God's word, or marination. Hope is the assimilation of God's word, or saturation. And love is the application of God's word, overflowing of the purifying, clarifying, and moisturizing water of life that cleanses and quenches the deepest thirst of the human soul as nothing else can. The cup that runs over in Psalm 23, for my cup runneth over. And the blessings poured out from the open windows of heaven too great to contain in Malachi 3:10. So, you want to be one of the first, and you are one of the first, to hope to the praise of his glory and be used of God to accomplish his purpose. What a wonderful privilege is ours. And we're done. Let's pray. For Heavenly Father, you are the only one who can do all of these things in us, for us, to us, and through us, to mold us and make us like Christ in some small way, starting with the mind or the thinking of Christ, according to your word and your will, and for your glory. We praise your holy name and present ourselves for renewal in your plan, purpose, and will for each of us. Grant us the faith and the grace to press on to the higher calling of the Lord Jesus, that is to be more and more like him. If you're listening to this message today on sermon audio and you've never believed in Jesus Christ, all believers, please be praying for those who are in our listening audience who may not know Christ, may be hearing part or even all of the message this morning and saying, what the heck? There's something I need to do, something I need to know. Well, first of all, you need to come to Christ. And that is by believing in the historic Christ, the one who lived and died and rose from the dead and ascended back to heaven before 500 eyewitnesses at once who were told is coming again in the same way he left. And that could be today. Look around you. Look at the news. There's nothing here except sin and evil and complete debauchery. And it's amazing that we haven't just self-destructed completely. And the Lord's coming. So you have a golden opportunity to get right. That's by believing in the person of Christ. And he'll do the rest. He'll show you that you could trust him. He'll show you that everything he says is absolute truth. He never makes a promise that he doesn't fulfill completely for those who will only believe him. Nobody is happy with someone that doesn't believe him, and the Lord is no different. So believe him today. And he'll bless you in every possible way, in ways that you never could think, ask, or imagine. In your life, he'll redeem your life from the pit. He'll soften your heart. He'll heal your mind. He'll give you a future and a hope. Believe in him. He doesn't promise smooth sailing, but a safe land. And he will do that for sure. Father, we just thank you for all of these things. Vicki, if you would get ready, please, and if I could have my ushers. Father, bless the offering today in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.
We could all stand.